Bibles, if you would, to the book of Galatians, chapter 4, Galatians chapter 4 again. And Galatians chapter 4, begin reading in verse 1. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more servant, but a son. And if a son, an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage?" Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for our visitor being here, and pray you'd bless him for taking the time out of his schedule to worship and fellowship. And Lord, we just hope we can be a blessing to him. And Father, but we pray above all that we'd be a blessing to you, that our hearts would be open to hear the Word of God. Lord, you'd help me to preach it faithfully and straightforwardly. And Lord, we just thank you for all that you've given and all that you've provided. We just thank you for your love and your mercy and the salvation that we have through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And you know, when we talk about salvation, and we talk about redemption, a lot of times we talk about it as an afterthought. I don't want you to misunderstand me. We talk about it as an afterthought. We talk about it as if the focus of our redemption was just about the forgiveness of our sins and the result of that redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And the Bible says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." In Colossians 1:14, I believe it is. It says something similar in the book of Ephesians. But we talk about that redemption that we have through His blood. And make no mistake about it, there is no other way to be saved but through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He is the only Savior. There's no other. There's no church that can save you. There's no ceremony that can save you. There's no amount of good works that you can do can save you. Even though, yes, good works, God wants us to do that. We'll talk a little bit about that later. But we talk about salvation in relation to ourselves, that God loved us and He paid the penalty for our sins through the shedding of Christ's blood. And Christ rose from the dead. And so the penalty for sin has been paid in full. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Amen. And we talk about that. And it's a wonderful and magnificent thing. It's a wonderful thing to know that your sins are forgiven. And there's one thing I want to say. You know, I don't know anybody's heart here but my own. I know the simple fact is the only person I can say with any surety that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt is born again is myself, because I can only see my own heart. And all I would say is if you're not sure that your sins are forgiven, I've got good news for you. You can know for sure. John chapter 5, it says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." Not hope so, no. And we have a surety. He's our surety the Bible says, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost who come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Because Christ is alive forevermore. My salvation is eternal. I am saved to the uttermost. I can't get any more saved. Now I can get more sanctified, but I can't get more saved. But that's a wonderful testimony. If there's one that's lost, today's the day of salvation. Today, if you'll hear His voice, harden not your heart, the Scripture says. Today is the day of salvation. This is the day that this is your opportunity. We don't have the promise of another. But the question I would ask is, why did God redeem you? Why did God redeem you? I mean, redemption has a purpose. And I understand that purpose is all wrapped up in the love of God. If I were to ask the question, why did God redeem you? And everybody that knows the Lord at all, the first answer that would come out of their mouth is, because He loves me. Because God loves me. Jesus loved me and gave Himself for me. And I love Him because He first loved me. And that's not a wrong answer. But love is a choice. Love is a choice. God chose to love us, right? It's not just a feeling. There may be emotions that come with it, but in essential, godly love is a choice. God loved us when we were wicked. He committed His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Right? Amen. So love is God's choice. But behind that choice, there is a purpose. God never does anything without a purpose. God has a plan and a purpose. And in our text that we look at here, we see the purpose of redemption. He says in verse 4, he said, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. What was God's purpose in redeeming you? Why did God redeem you? He redeemed you to make you His child. To make you His child. This is one of the most amazing things about salvation. You've heard me say it before. And I say, there's a lot of times I repeat things that I say because to me they're so profound. But you've heard me say it before that there was nothing that was necessary, indicated in anything that I read in Scripture that says that in order to redeem us, God had to adopt us into His family. He said in verse 7, he said, wherefore thou art no more servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. God could have saved my soul, could have paid my sins, and I could have remained a servant, not a child, not a partaker of the divine nature. There's nothing that you could say, well, because you're redeemed, you deserve to be a child of God. Because your sins are forgiven, you deserve to be a child of God. There's nothing there. So what was God's purpose? God's purpose was to bring us into His family, to adopt us into His family. To adopt us. To make us His children. To make us joint heirs with Christ. He said to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. When a person gets saved, when they believe, they're sealed with that Holy Spirit of God. And that Spirit works in our heart to let us know that we are now, that God is now Abba, He's Father. We're part of the family. And then we're an heir of God through Christ. The Bible talks about us being joint heirs with Christ. So that inheritance. Now, by the way, not only do we not deserve to be adopted into God's family, but we certainly don't deserve to be a partaker in Christ's inheritance. You know, it's an amazing thing. People go out, and when we make out wills and everything like that, and I've been thinking of the things I have. It's like, well, is there anything that I would want to give to one of my children over another? You know, and I've looked at stuff like that. Because all my kids, you know, they all have ideas about who's going to get what, right? They all have ideas about I want that. You know, I there's different things that they have, and I said, well, I'll figure that out, and I'll make my own choices about that. And I said, you just let me worry about that. I said that's mine to give. That's not yours to request necessarily. But the simple fact is, we'll go through and we'll give one thing to another and one thing to another, and even in the Old Testament, you read through the Old Testament and what happens. Well, the firstborn got a double portion, didn't he? All right? So the firstborn got a double portion of what? So there was never an equality of what it is. But God goes past all that, and not only does He adopt us into the family, but then makes us joint heirs with Christ. We share in His inheritance. You know, when the Bible says that we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. That's not your inheritance. That's not something that you earn or deserve. That is what we receive as joint heirs with Christ. Now the Bible talks about reward, that we can earn a reward by faithful service and by obedience to God and by living by faith and doing those things, doing what we're supposed to do, winning souls and being a witness for Christ and living godly, and all these things that we're doing, we have the opportunity of reward. But that inheritance is incorruptible and undefiled, and it fadeth not away. That we have because of Jesus. Amen. And God's purpose was to redeem us, that we might receive the adoption of sons, that we might be part of God's family, that we might be partakers of the divine nature. So many things is talked about in there. And it's just amazing sometimes. I think a lot of times we lose the wonder. There's an old song called, Oh, the Wonder of It All. Oh, the Wonder of It All. Right? And we lose that wonder. Just to be able to call God Father. Just to be able to pray in Jesus' name. What an amazing thing. See, by the way, that's part of Jesus' inheritance. That God is His Father. God the Father. So we're there. And we have that same, we have a foreshadowing of that in just the fact that we can call God our Father, Abba, Father. And so Romans chapter 8 and verse 15 says, For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. In other words, we're not to fear to go to our Father. We don't have to be afraid of going to Him. We can come boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in time of need. What an amazing thing that we can go. We don't ever have to be afraid. You said, oh, preacher, but I failed God. I've sinned against Him and everything. And I'm backslidden and I'm wrong. And preacher, you don't understand. I just feel so wicked and I feel so unworthy. And if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from how much unrighteousness? All. Amen. All of it. Not some of it. Amen. All of it. That's a promise to a believer. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen. He's at the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession for us. He's there. But we go to God the Father in Jesus' name, and it doesn't matter. We cry, Abba, Father. We don't have to sit there and be afraid to approach God. I understand the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and I understand that. And what that means is to understand, just like any child understands from a father, that there are consequences for misbehaving. Right? Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. And scourgeth every soul He receiveth. And so we understand that there are consequences. And if you're without chastisement from God, then you're probably not saved. In fact, I can guarantee you're not saved, because the Bible says if you're without chastisement, then are you bastards and not sons. Right? In the book of Hebrews, I believe, chapter 12, I believe, is where it's at. But the point being is, the simple fact is, we don't have to be afraid to come to God. He's our Father. We're part of the family. Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Can't get any better than that. Can't get any more sure than that. So why did God redeem us? Well, He redeemed us, yes, because He loved us, but also to make us His children. Amen. And then, if you want to turn over to the book of Titus, chapter 2, it gives us another thing to look at. Titus chapter 2. And it says in verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope in the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Isn't that an amazing thing that we look at? He redeemed us so that we would, first of all, be adopted into the family, that His Spirit be protectors of the divine nature, that we would be His children, that He would be our Father, not just our God, but our Father. That we would be part of the family, that we would be joint heirs with Christ, that we would have such a relationship with God. Such a relationship that we need not be afraid to call upon Him in whatever circumstance or situation we are, because we're part of the family. He's our Father. It's not bondage. We're not just a servant. We're a child. A child of the King. Amen. But now He says He gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from what? All iniquity. All iniquity. Not some iniquity. All iniquity. You know, we talk about the salvation. And you've heard me use this, and I'm not unique in this because many preachers have said it this way. You know, that in salvation, there are three things in salvation that are talked about. You know, we look at the salvation, the shedding of blood for our sins, and Jesus paid the penalty for our sins. So God, our salvation, we're delivered from the penalty of sin. And then we're made free. We now have a choice. We're delivered from the power of sin. And we look forward to the day when we will be delivered from the presence of sin, right? So the penalty of sin, the power of sin, the presence of sin, all of these things are part of our redemption. But that second one, being delivered from the power of sin, this is the point that God, this is God's purpose in redeeming us, to purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. God's desire and purpose was to redeem us from all iniquity and purify us. That talks about our sanctification, about God continuing to work. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so we see that work that Christ is trying to do and that we need to get on board with and we need to stay on board with. When it comes to allowing God to confront our hearts about sin and believe God that we can overcome it by His grace and through His mercy, and that our desires and wants and our purpose aligns with His purpose. Amen. That His purpose becomes our purpose. And He says that He gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. A people that want to do and delight to do that which is good. That's why God redeemed us. That was His purpose. So that the world could see, and not just the world, but all creation could see what great things God has done for us. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Isn't that an amazing thing when we look at that passage of Scripture? We look at that, and we see that we're created under good works. We're not saved by good works, but we're created in Christ Jesus under good works. Good works don't come before salvation, they come after. And the problem we have is too often we don't allow them to come after. We deny the purpose of our redemption by not yielding ourselves to God. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless, harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." In other words, our salvation shouldn't be in vain. Our lives should reflect it, and by God's grace it can. If we're just willing to say yes, if we're just willing to trust Him, if we're just willing to yield. What an amazing thing to be a beacon, a light in the darkness. That's the whole picture. Brother, I love your shirt. Got "Trust Jesus" on big letters there. Praise the Lord for that. But our lives should say to the world, "Trust Jesus." wearing a shirt, that's a start. That's a good thing. To make an open declaration, you know. One thing I can say, you know, when you go back into the into the Old Testament, you find, remember Elijah with the prophets of Baal, and all the people were there, and Elijah said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, serve Him. But if Baal be God, serve him." And what does the Bible say? And the people answered him not a word. A closed mouth never makes a commitment, does it? And it's good to proclaim our commitment to Christ. But we need to carry that through. We need to realize that's our purpose. God has a plan. God has a purpose. Last night I couldn't sleep. And that's rare for me, not being able to sleep. And then when I did sleep, I started having some really bad dreams. You ever had bad dreams, nightmares and things like that? Just things happening? It was like almost I'd wake up from one, I'd go back to sleep, and I'd wake up from another one. It was just weird. I've rarely had anything like it happen. I almost felt like I was under attack. Just seemed ugly. So I just started praying. If you're going to be up, why not do something good? Start praying for the church, praying for people, praying for the people that we send out all the mailers to and with the gospel on them, and just started praying, and why not? I'm not going anywhere. Might as well do something for the Lord, right? And that ought to be our attitude all the time. I wish I could say that that had always been my attitude and I never faltered from that. But so often it's easy to falter from that. But we're lights. We're there. We're supposed to hold forth the word of life. Why? Because if we don't, the people that led us to the Lord will have run in vain. It'd be a shame to get saved for nothing. And then, if you want to turn over to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2. 1 Peter, chapter 2. First Peter, chapter 2, in verse 1, he says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice, and all guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them that stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." What an amazing thing. What an amazing testimony. What an amazing purpose. He said, "What, Lord? Why did you save me? Why did you redeem me?" And we would say, well, he would answer in the Scripture, "Well, because I love you." And he says, "Because I want you to be my child." And because I want you to share in the inheritance of your Redeemer. I want you to share in that. And he said, because I want to redeem you from all iniquity. Not just the penalty of it, but the power of it. I want you to be a different person. You know, there are some things that when we get saved, we need to quit, don't we? We need to find things, other things to do with our lives and with our times. You know, when I got saved, I needed to quit all my drinking and dope and all that stuff and my chasing women and all the other things that I was doing, the lying, the stealing, the whoremongering. I could go down the list of all terrible sins and things that I was guilty of. And I needed to change and do things differently. And there were some things that I needed to do, not necessarily differently, but for a different reason. There were some things, you know, not everything I did was wrong. It's just the reasons I did them were wrong. You have a lot of people that are in church today, and they're in church today because they think that by being in church today, they have somehow atoned for their sins. Well, that's wrong. The only thing that can atone for sin is the blood of Christ. Amen. And then there are some people that are in church today to honor and worship God, and they're from a biblical thing. They're here to learn, to grow, to do all these things so they can take what they learn here and take it out there for the glory of God, out of love for God, to not in order to be redeemed, but because we are redeemed. Right? So we have that great picture. Same action, but different purpose, right? Different heart. Oh, that's what we're supposed to be. He to redeem us from all iniquity, including the iniquity of self-righteousness. You know, we have a lost and dying world out there that looks at the church house and thinks they're all a bunch of hypocrites, but all a bunch of self-righteous people. And that's convenient for them because that's what the devil wants them to see. Because that's what he wants them to think. Because he wants them to die and go to hell for all eternity. He wants them to be lost for all eternity. And the only way that changes is if we allow God's purpose for redeeming us to become our purpose. That's the only way it changes. What an amazing thing. Just to be loved by God would be enough. Just to be loved by God enough to have my sins forgiven and the penalty of hell erased. And the hope of heaven, to go to heaven, but then to become his child, to be adopted, and for him to send out the Spirit of his Son, so that I in my heart the Spirit itself bears witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God, that I am indeed his child, not just his servant but his child, and then to know that my time down here need not be wasted because God's plan and purpose includes using me for His glory and making me something that the world needs to see, where the world could see the Lord Jesus. That I could testify not just by word, but by deed. See, it's kind of funny, isn't it? We always want to do one or the other, right? We have arguments in the church whether Well, should we be confrontational soul winners? Should we tell people the gospel, go out and tell people? Or should we live a good godly life? Just do both. That's why He saved you. That's His purpose. That's His plan. Do it all. Don't do part of what God wants for you. Do it all. What a wonderful thing. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. What an amazing thing. Let's do this, if you would. Let's bow our heads, please. And heads bowed and eyes closed. I just want to take a moment. If you're here today and you don't know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven. Today's your opportunity. God loves you. Jesus died on Calvary's cross for your sins. He rose from the dead. He paid the penalty in full. Now eternal life is a gift that comes to those who will humble themselves and call upon the Lord. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's only through Him. The only way you'll ever have your sins forgiven, the only way you'll ever have a home in heaven is if you put your faith and trust in Christ and what He did for you on Calvary's cross. You believe that He died for your sins and rose from the dead, and you call upon Him. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But then once, if you're saved today, do you let it just stop with there? Okay, my sins have been forgiven. Praise the Lord. We sang that song, "My Sins Are Gone," earlier. Is that all? Is that all? Or do you know that you're God's own child, that you don't need to fear to call upon Him, that you can come boldly to the throne of grace, that by the blood of Jesus you can enter into the holiest of all, into the very presence of God? He's not just God, He's Abba, Father. Here's your child. And His purpose of redemption was to make you His child, to make you a joint heir with Christ, and then change who you are. To become a peculiar people, different than all the world, zealous of good works, holding forth the word of life, showing forth the praises of Him who's called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We just got to allow God's purpose to become our purpose. I'm sure there's other things we could have talked about, but boy, if we could just get those two down, what a change it would be. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. If God spoke to your heart, now's the time to do business with Him. And Father, we thank You for this day and the Word of God that we've heard. And I pray that You'd help us to simply take this message. Lord, remember it, first of all, and believe it. Believe Your Word. Believe what You say, regardless of what, and not what we feel. Trust Your Word. Lord, to realize that Your will is going to be accomplished in us. Help us to just yield ourselves so that it might be accomplished all the sooner. Father, we thank You for so great a salvation, so great a Savior. Lord, we just know that You know whatever one of us needs. Father, these prayer requests that we have today, these folks that are ailing, Mr. Parks, and Billy and Brian Tuchek, Scott Maxwell, this woman Melanie Breland, Joseph Harris, Father, we pray for them. We ask that You would heal. We
ask, Father, that you would give them grace and strength. Lord, if there are any in this number that are not saved, we pray for their salvation. Lord, we just pray also for those who are sick in the church. We pray that you bring them back safely. Father, help us above all to just believe your word. And regardless of how we feel or what things look like or what the world says or anybody else, Lord, help us to just not just marvel at your purpose in redeeming us, but Lord, to just embrace it with our whole heart and soul. Help us, Lord, to become more.